From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. COVID-19 can infect anyone regardless of social status. National Library and South Kalimantan's Library and the Archives Agency hold the webinar, The Joy of Reading Books. Now the news in details. The Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, Mahfud MD, has emphasized that the novel coronavirus disease, which is currently sweeping the world, including Indonesia, can infect anyone regardless of social status. As quoted by Antaranus Agency, Minister Mahfud MD cautioned in Ambon on Friday that COVID-19 does not look at social status, anyone can be attacked, do not take it lightly. He further stated that he had received news of some of his friends also reportedly testing positive for COVID-19. He said the key to preventing the spread of the pandemic is discipline, along with the observance of health protocols set by the government, which include using masks outside the home, diligently washing hands with soap, and maintaining a safe distance from others. This is a standard protocol that must be obeyed by every citizen to avoid the spread or transmission of this virus. The National Library and the South Kalimantan's Library and Archives Agency held a webinar with the team The Joy of Reading Books on Friday, presenting Najwa Shihab, who is also known as a journalist and Indonesian reading ambassador. Deputy of Resources Development at the National Library, Worotiti Haryanti, in her remarks said that in the current pandemic, digital space such as webinars is one of the tools to gaining the knowledge, even though it must follow health protocols. Head of South Kalimantan Library and Archives Agency, Nurliani Dardi, in her speech said that this activity is routinely held every year to introduce the cultures of literacy to the community, especially children. On the same occasion, Najwa Shihab revealed that the support from all stakeholders could push the millennial generation to enjoy reading books physically was very much needed. Nowadays, digital space is a way to get any information. The library enlivens digital space with various themes to increase reading habits. The public may access many references, including e-books on ePusnas, Kastara, and Indonesia One Search. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. The Australian government has provided 100 non-invasive ventilators to Indonesia as part of a critical medical and laboratory equipment package valued at $2 million Australian dollars to support COVID-19 efforts in the country. In a statement issued on Friday, Australian Ambassador to Indonesia Gary Quinlan said that Australia is standing alongside Indonesia in the fight against COVID-19 that has impacted the Indo-Pacific region. As quoted by Antaranus Agency, Quinlan said, some 100 non-invasive ventilators related medical supplies and lab equipment that have been sent to the Indonesian National Task Force will help the medical front lines in providing the assistance to help save lives and support lab staffs with vital supplies. The medical equipment will help Indonesia tackle COVID-19 and reflects Australia's commitment to supporting the accelerations of Indonesia's health, humanitarian, and economic response, as well as recovery measures. Joe Biden wants to address healthcare disparities, toughen gun control overall policy, provide free community college, erase students' loan debt, invest in green energy, and improve the nation's infrastructure. But that's just the start. The presumptive Democratic presidential nominee has also proposed measures to help Americans buy their first home, raise the federal minimum wage, and boost taxes on the wealthy and corporations. That's to say nothing of this massive plans tied to the coronavirus. As quoted by APnews.com, the reams of proposals reflects Biden's belief that the nation faces immense challenges that require a far-reaching government response not to seen since the New Deal. It remarks the contrast with President Donald Trump, who has struggled to articulate his second-term plans and has sometimes said the coronavirus will simply go away. But such ambition may inevitably lead to disappointment. Fulfilling a dream of his Islamic-oriented youth, Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan joined hundreds of worshippers Friday for the first Muslim prayers in 86 years inside Hagia Sophia, the Istanbul landmark that served as one of Christendom's most significant cathedrals, a mosque, and a museum before its conversion back into a Muslim place of worship. As quoted by APnews.com, thousands of other Muslim faithful came from across Turkey and quickly filled specially designated areas outside of the Byzantine-era monument to join in the inaugural prayers. Many others were turned away, while Orthodox Christians, church leaders in Greece and the United States announced a day of mourning over Hagia Sophia's return as a mosque. The prayers began with Erdogan's reciting from the Quran. The head of the Turkish religious authorities, Ali Erbaz, led the ceremony and prayed that Muslims would never again be denied the right to worship at the internationally celebrated 6th century structure. The president said as many as 350,000 people took part in Friday's prayers. Portugal remains off the list of countries that the government has exempted from quarantine restriction. As quoted by BBC.com, in changes that apply to England, travelers from Estonia, Latvia, Slovakia, Slovenia, and St. Vincent and Grenadines won't have to isolate. It takes the list of countries that do not face travel restriction into England to 80 nations. The government also said it will update guidance weekly, meaning rules could change while people are away. It said people should regularly check the advice. Previously, updates were provided every 3 weeks. The Portuguese government expressed regrets at the UK's decision to continue to exclude it from the list of countries that are exempt from quarantine. China has ordered the closures of the U.S. consulate in the southwestern city of Chengdu in a tit-for-tat escalation between the two countries. As quoted by BBC.com, China said the move was in response to the U.S. closing its consulate in Houston and accused staff in Chengdu of meddling in its internal affairs. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said the U.S. decision was taken because China was stealing intellectual property. Tensions have been rising between the U.S. and China over several key issues. President Donald Trump's administration has clashed repeatedly with Beijing over trade and the coronavirus pandemic, as well as China's imposition of a controversial new security law in Hong Kong. On Friday, Washington urged China to cease this malevolent action rather than engage in tit-for-tat retaliation. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusmawati. Thank you for listening. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news from the Indonesian archipelago. The first news comes from Manokwari, Papua. Manokwari Regency, West Papua, was chosen as one of the recipients of cocoa and coconut development programs in a joint project between Indonesian government and Canada. In a press release received by Antara on Thursday, it was stated that the national support for local investment climate or national support for enhancing local and regional economic development, NSLIC, in a joint project between the Government of Indonesia through the Ministry of National Development Planning and the Canadian Government Through Global Affairs Canada, on Thursday, held a closing ceremony for the second phase of the Response Innovation Fund, RIF, program. The project provides capacity-building support to improve the investment climate and local economic development. In total, there were 28 regencies or cities in Indonesia selected to receive the program. 18 of them were included in the National Priority Rural Areas and were accommodated in the 2015, 2019, and 2020-2024 National Medium-Term Development Plans supported through RIF, namely the grant scheme in the NSLIC project. RIF aims to strengthen and coordinate national support for the development of innovative local economies. These innovations are being pursued in the form of developing more efficient production processes. New methods for service delivery and sharing resources with other districts to improve efficiencies or use tools and technology to help overcome distance and other obstacles. Next news comes from Talaut Regency, North Sulawesi. Talaut Island Regency, North Sulawesi Province for the first time imported abaca banana fiber or Musa textiles to Japan to be used as raw materials for producing the country's money. The head of the Manado Agricultural Quarantine, Doni Moshidayan Saragi, in Manado last Monday said, 6 tons of banana fiber was exported with an economic value of 194 million rupiah. It has been through the quarantine process and has received phytosanitary certificate or PC as an export requirement. Doni said a series of agricultural quarantine actions had been carried out in Tahuna to ensure that these export commodities were healthy and safe. Latest news come from Trenggalek, East Java. Trenggalek Regency Government East Java on Tuesday inaugurated Kampung Tangguh Semeru in a green zone COVID-19 located in Sumurup Village, Bendungan Sub-District, because no residents were reportedly exposed to the coronavirus. Trenggalek Region Muhammad Nur Arifin hopes that this resilient village can stimulate community participation to care for their health while continuing to practice a clean living culture and adhere to the health protocols. Meanwhile, Trenggalek Police Chief Doni Sembiring said Sumbara Village become one of the resilience village pilots because this village is still sterile from the COVID-19 case. The Chief of Police reminded the essence of this resilient village was how effective it was in dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic. Listener, that was news from across Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Voice of Indonesia.
Our regular program, Today in History, starts from an event on July 25, 1978, when the first test tube baby, Louis Brown, was born. The test tube baby program, which was initiated by Robert Edwards and Patrick Steptoe, had succeeded with the birth of a baby, Louis Brown. Louis Brown was born at Oldham and District General Hospital in Manchester, England, on July 25, 1978, from the parents of Leslie and Peter. Louis Brown was born at midnight through a caesarean section with a weight of 2.27 kilograms. At the beginning, there were many pros and cons related to the process of the test tube baby. After the successful one, a lot of couples who had fertility problems followed the program. In Indonesia, the first test tube baby, Nugroho Karyanto, was born at the Harapan Kita Maternity and Children's Hospital in Jakarta on May 2, 1988. The process was led by Dr. Sudraji Sumapraya, assisted by the doctor's team.
The next event is that in 1997, Narayanan became Dalit, or the first Indian from lower class who was elected as President of India. Narayanan began his career in India under the government of Nehru. He served as ambassador to Japan, Great Britain, Thailand, Turkey, China, and United States of America, and he was mentioned by Nehru as the best diplomat from India. He involved in politics upon request of Indira Gandhi and won 3 successive general elections for Lok Sabha and served as state minister in the United Cabinet under the government of former Prime Minister Rajiv Gandhi. Elected as the 9th Vice President in 1992, Narayanan became President on July 25, 1997. The last event is that in 2000, supersonic Concorde crashed at Gonesse. The only fatal incident involving supersonic Concorde happened on July 25, 2000, when the passenger plane supersonic Concorde took off from Charles de Gaulle Airport, Paris, to John F. Kennedy Airport, New York. This supersonic plane hit a titanium belonging to a plane of Continental Airlines DC-10, which was left on runway. Titanium fragments tapped the plane's tire so that it caused the tire to explode. The tire flakes hit the fuel tank, which then caused a fire. When the fire spread to the left wing of the plane, the engine stopped and the plane fell. The plane crashed a hotel in Gonesse Val d'Oise. 109 passengers along with the crews and 4 employees of the hotel were killed in the accident. And listener, that was today in history.
Kita tak lagi satu, tapi saling merindu. Meskipun tak bersama, ku masih rasakan sinyal cintamu. Firasatku berkata kau merasakan yang sama. Kasihku, katakanlah saja bila, bila kau masih mencinta. Buat apa kau berdusta, katakannya sejujurnya. Diriku pun menginginkan semua seperti dahulu kala. Mungkinkah cinta lama kita bersemi kembali?
Wait, I know I've made a few mistakes in the past, yeah. But I was so young like Drake in the grass. See, bad boy call me Puff Daddy, but bad it should boy. Be me and you like Cassie, yeah. I miss you so much, girl, I can't sleep, yeah. And if it's still want me, then tell me.
Katakanlah saja bila,
bila katakanlah saja bila, bila kau masih mencinta, buat apa kau berdusta, katakan yang sejujurnya. Diriku pun menginginkan semua seperti dahulu kala, mungkin gak cinta lama, kita berseni kembali. Kita saling merindu.
Yeah. And if you still want me, then
katakan sejujurnya.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that will present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia today, entitling Indonesia agrees to complete joint trade review this year. Indonesia and the UK agreed to immediately complete the joint trade review or GTR in December this year to improve economic relations between the two countries, particularly in the fields of trade and investment. This agreement was raised at the second GTR meeting, which was held virtually on July 20 and 21, 2020. Previously, the first GTR meeting was held on December 9, 2019 in London, England. Indonesian Director General of International Trade Negotiations Iman Pambagio said this meeting was evidence of the strong commitment of Indonesia and the UK to improve trade and investment relations. The COVID-19 pandemic and the uncertain global economic situation are increasingly pushing the two countries to strengthen cooperation to overcome challenges while preparing for a closer long-term partnership. Iman Pambagio revealed that during the meeting, the delegates held intensive discussion. They included the latest development in the two countries' economic policies, identification of various potential sectors, potential for cooperation, and exploration of trade and investment opportunities from both directions. In the future, the delegations will hold a meeting with business players from both countries after consulting in advance in each country. According to Iman Pambagio, input from business players is very important in the preparation of the study because business people are directly aware of the condition in the field related to the policies adopted by each country and business opportunities that can be explored by both parties to increase trade. The preparation of the joint trade reviews is coordinated by Ministry of Trade as a representative of the Indonesian government and the Department of International Trade, DIT, as a representative of the British government. Based on data from the Indonesian Central Statistics Agency processed by the Ministry of Trade, the UK is ranked 22nd of Indonesia's export destination countries and 23rd in the list of countries of origin of Indonesian imports. The total value of Indonesia's trade with the United Kingdom in 2019 reaches $2.4 billion. The value of Indonesia's export and imports to the UK were $1.4 billion and $1.0 billion respectively. Meanwhile, the value of British investment in Indonesia in 2019 was valued at $87.6 million. Indonesia and the United Kingdom signed the Terms of References or TOR to conduct a joint trade or GTR study of the two countries on October 16, 2019. The signing of the TOR was done by the UK after leaving the European Union so that relations with Indonesia that have been established can both be continued and even improve. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusmawati.
You came into my life unexpectedly. You saw my imperfections and you saw who I am. Through all my insecurities, soon by me, so I love you for the peace that you bring to my soul. High and low, I searched. You're the only one for me. You're my person in my home. You are real in my earth. You're a million other things that you don't even know. You're my sun in forgive all my faults, to accept all my flaws. Through all my insanities, you love me. So I love you for the peace that you bring to my soul. High and low, I searched. You're the only one for me. You're my person, you're my home. You are really all my earth. You're a million other things that you don't even know. You're my sun and my rain. You're that twinkle in my eye. Oh, I wish I'd find you sooner, so that I can love you longer. I've searched high and low for you, but time has kept the best for last, yeah. I've never felt so sure in my life. You're the only one for me, awesome. You're my earth, you're a million other things that you don't even know. You're my sun, you're my rain, you're the twinkle in my eye. Oh, I wish I found you sooner, so
Service Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today we will take you to taste Jadah Tempeh, a traditional food from Sleman Regency, Yogyakarta, precisely from the slopes of Mount Marapi, Kaliurang. Listeners, Jadah Tempeh is actually a combination of two types of traditional Javanese food, namely jadah, which is food made from sticky rice, and tempeh. Tempeh is usually cooked by baceman, which is cooked and simmered in coconut water and sugar, whereas jadah is a sticky-based food, which is usually given grated coconut, which causes a savory taste. This combination creates a delicious taste when eating together. This will be even more enjoyable if both are accompanied with cayenne pepper. So the taste of this food is a blend of savory, sweet, and spicy. This food is very appropriate to be enjoyed in cold weather, such as in Kaliurang and Sleman. Jadah tempeh is usually served with a banana leaf wrapper. Eat jadah tempeh is very simple. You eat it together in one bite, one jadah and one tempeh. But now many people eat it like eating a burger, which is two jadah with a tempeh bacem in the middle, so that it is sometimes called the Javanese burger. Jadah tempeh is an icon of the Kaliurang tourism area. Besides being cheap, jadah tempeh is also tasteful. One portion of jadah tempeh is 10,000 rupiah to 20,000 rupiah. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Jadah Tempeh, a traditional food from Sleman, Yogyakarta. We will meet again with other interesting topics. See you next time.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Listener, here is Miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Listener, Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to Miscellany. Today we will inform you about film by Indonesian filmmaker won international awards in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic. Mm-hmm. listener, the COVID-19 pandemic that has paralyzed the world of cinema worldwide has not become an obstacle for Indonesian filmmakers to score achievements in their fields. In the midst of this condition, a surprise came from the famous director Joko Anwar, who reported that one of his films that aired in 2019 was awarded at BIFAN 2020. Through his media social account, Joko Anwar said the film Perempuan Tanah Jahanam or PTJ, or known as the international version Impetigur, won an award at the 2020 Bucheon International Fantastic Film Festival or BIFAN, held in Bucheon-si, Korea from July 9, 2020 to July 16, 2020. In the festival, the film Perempuan Tanah Jahanam was rewarded as the Best Asian Film by the Melis International Festivals Federation Award. Melis International Festivals Federation or MIFF Award is an award given to be able to promote and encourage the development of the genre of fantastic films in Asia. BIFAN itself is an annual event dedicated to the biggest lovers of films of horror, thrillers, mysteries, fantasy, and science fiction in South Korea since 1997. Formerly, BIFAN was known as the Bucheon International Fantastic Film Festival or BIFAN, but after 2015 only changed with the name that is known now. Before winning the award at BIFAN 2020, the Perempuan Tanah Jahanam movie had managed to attract world film festivals. For example, the Sundance Film Festival 2019, movie that has been watched by more than 700,000 people, is also included in the list of films that must be watched in the 2019 Sundance Film Festival. Listener, that was Miss Eleni for today. Thank you for listening.
That you're the one, got me feeling so crazy. Every day you want my mind. Then it's over and we're done, but this time I won't cry. But why? Well, 'cause I feel just fine. I remember the first time we met. You were so good to me unlike nobody else. But then you got me on lock, then the party ends. I'm always like, where the hell did this fella win? Man, it's okay though. Boys always come and go, they just like seasons. And I'm Cleopatra, but he ain't a Caesar. So when he left, is what I gotta say though. Ay.
Won't shed no tears. Yes, I got this. Won't shed no tears. I'll find my own bliss.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, we'll present a keroncong song entitled Keroncong Kemayoran. The song Keroncong Kemayoran is a song from Betawi or Jakarta. It was written like a poem, which is Betawi people tradition. The song is without knowing who the composer is, but the song is quite popular among Indonesian people. There are some genres of Keroncong Kemayoran songs, which are often sung. However, all genres have one goal, namely to entertain and to describe joy. Well, listener, here is Asri Sarjo with the song Keroncong Kemayoran.
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
Jangan dalam hidupku. Tak bisa ku bayangkan bila tanpa dirimu ku telah sempurna mencintaimu.
Voice of Indonesia.
Aku tak pernah begini. Jantungku berdetak sangat kencang saat ku melihatmu. Wahai elok parasmu membuatku menjadi gemeteran saat ku memandangmu. Tapi ku takut ketemu kamu, sang pujaan hatiku. Oh Tuhan, kirim cintaku untuknya.
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safira Dalla. See you on the next English program.